Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Diary of a Common Man. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you for joining me once again. Last week, we learned how much money could Aga Khan system possibly could be making from the cult. This week, we will seek to understand how much he spends, if any. But before that, some housekeeping. As I said last week, the name of our non-profit organization is Wake Up Call Incorporation. Our details are as follows. A couple of weeks ago, I shared the bank details in case you'd like to support the cause. Please ignore those details. Here are the new options. Visit our website wakeupcall.quest to make a secure donation. Obviously, you can also use the bank transfer and the details are as below. Now that we are organized, our director of operations has invited Aga Khan for an interview on this channel. Whether he will respond this time, only time will tell. Let us now return to episode 23. Aga Khan, the humanitarian, $15 billion. Aga Khan, the spiritual leader, $15 billion drawn from the murids that goes in a black hole. That is how much he is likely to be making from the cult. And this colossal amount that he receives is something murids do not want to talk about. What they want to talk about is how much he spends for humanity, his time, his money, his resources, whatever. So whatever he does for humanity, if at all, is it worth anywhere near $15 billion? What do you think? How much could he be spending? Keep this to yourself. We'll come back to it in just a minute. But before that, it is important to understand that $15 billion does not include gifts such as jewelry. Neither does it include Jamaat Khana properties around the world and the benefits of life insurance policies that go to Aga Khan Foundation. Look, question is very simple. Are you ethical when you actually break the law of the country in which you live? Now we all know, Aga Khan talks a lot about ethics. You hear, listen to any of his speeches, he'll talk about pluralism, he'll talk about meritocracy, he will talk about ethics. But does ethics apply in his own life, particularly this spiritual life that has got nothing to do with materialism? Does it apply in this spiritual life? You know how he says, my spiritual children. He becomes a god, and here we are talking about $15 billion, not including properties, not including life insurance policies, and not including the jewelry. Unfortunately, I don't know about his personal life, but as far as spiritual life is concerned, I am a witness to the fact that the ethics that he talks about does not apply in the Jamaat Khana. And I will put my case forward with the help of a simple example. Imagine it is a Chandrat Majlis, monthly Chandrat Majlis. A large congregation of murids have gathered in Dallas Jamaat Khana. One murid out of so many bids Awal Sufro for $30,000. He has handed the money to the Mukhi Sahib and returns to take his place in the congregation after receiving a lot of blessings. Now, this transfer of money is considered by Aga Khani murids, the educated Aga Khani murids, don't forget, the progressive Aga Khani murids, they consider this transaction as normal. It happens as we speak. Now, this donation of or a gift or whatever you want to call it, $30,000 has changed hands. What has been forgotten here, or maybe intentionally forgotten here, is the fact that this transaction is illegal in many countries. Firstly, the Mukhi Sahib is legally required to get the donor to produce evidence. Where did he get the money from? In America, correct me if I'm wrong, any transaction over $10,000, the government must know about it. Question is, did Mukhi Sahib ask the donor, where did you get this $10,000 from? Was this transaction reported for money laundering purposes to the government? Then, even if the person produces evidence of the source of the money, $30,000, even if he gave it to Mukhi Sahib, Mukhi Sahib is then required to issue a tax receipt. Did Mukhi Sahib do that? No. And finally, is he required to report this gift to the tax purposes? Yes. Did Mukhi Sahib report it to the authorities that he received this money? Question is, does our kind-hearted ethical leader of an ethical imam follow the legal process? Do they follow the legal process in Jamaat Khana? And this is my personal experience. I was a Mukhi myself. When I was appointed the Mukhi, I was taken through an induction process. What to do, what not to do. I was never told to ask for financial evidence from the donor. I was never required to issue the tax receipt either. And I am talking about myself. Dear viewer, I am so glad I walked away from this unethical system run by none other than Aga Khan. But you should never forget, Imam is infallible. He cannot do anything wrong. You know, money is okay. It's a separate matter. Don't worry too much about that. But Imam is infallible. Look, getting caught a couple of times with other women when you are married, two or three children, getting caught red-handed, taken to the court, and you pay out, that is different. Don't worry too much about that, you know. But you should never forget, Imam is infallible. Now that money has been collected from the Jamaat Khana, $15 billion from across the world, this money belongs to the Imam. How does it get there to the Imam? Does Imam come and collect money from every Jamaat Khana and report it to the taxman? Does he do that? Money is in cash, remember? So much cash. Can you count $15 billion? I tried putting $15 billion in my calculator today. The calculator said no. I can't take $15 billion. I think there are how many zeros? There are nine zeros. My calculator stopped at 8. I'm sure you would have a calculator much more powerful than that. How is such a massive amount going to be transferred to Aga Khan? What do you think? Will it be done ethically? Do you think it will be done legally? Let's put it under the microscope. In 1991, an Aga Khani Sadruddin Kabani was caught smuggling more than $1 million in cash in a suitcase while crossing US-Canada border. Authorities tipped off the police, who found a money trail of more than $100 million destined to Aga Khan's Swiss Lloyd bank account within a small period of time. 100 million in a small period of time. A sting operation was arranged with the help of an insider which resulted in the arrest of 12 Ismailis Aga Khani murids who pleaded guilty for money laundering. They were sentenced to serve a prison term. There was even a woman in those 12 people that were arrested. Shameful, do you think? I think so. You are talking about a spiritual leader, a spiritual organization, and you get caught. Not only do you commit that sin, but you actually get caught committing that sin. And you still say that we are progressive, we are educated. Shameful. Aga Khan was born in Switzerland. That's where he went to school. Eventually became Imam in Geneva. It is no wonder he also has a bank account in Geneva. It is just a coincidence, you know, that it happens to be a Swiss bank account. Yes, it is here. It is in these banks that politicians and criminals from across the world put their money in. Why? Because Swiss government has decided that the Swiss banks will not reveal the identity of the person who holds the account there. So money from all the wrongdoing in the world can come there and be deposited, and people can withdraw the money and enjoy life. And it just happens that the infallible Imam has got an account there. Okay, so don't worry too much about it. Okay, let's move on. How does divine money make it to the divine banks in Switzerland? According to the investigation conducted by the US Canada authorities in early 90s, the money ends up in Lloyds Bank in Geneva. That's where the money trail stopped. But how did it get there? Who put the money there? Does one person take a bag full of money and put it in the Lloyds Bank? Not really. Let's have a look. According to the same investigation, US Canada, money from US, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, New Zealand end up in Canada. But why Canada? What is so special about Canada? Because Canada does not ask questions about large, very large cash departing its borders. If you were to take a million or two, you can take it in a bag. But Canada will not ask any questions, even if the parcel is bigger than a suitcase. US, for example, United States will ask you to declare anything over $10,000. And I think Australia does that too. Canada does not. So the money comes from across the world, ends up in Canada, and then either through the cash or through companies or through deposits via the companies in the banks in Canada, the money then departs for Switzerland. But Aga Khani murid will deny all that. You know, for them, they don't want to talk about this. Okay, they just want to talk about the good things. It is as if they are in permanent denial that, look, this is not happening. All right. Now, their perception is completely different. They think the money that they give in the Jamaat Khana, it goes to AKDN. That's what they think. Okay. And then the Imam spends that money to improve the human condition. That is what they think. Reality is completely different. There is AKDN and there is Aga Khan. These are two separate entities. AKDN receives money from all over the world, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Aga Khan receives it from the murids. in Lloyds Bank in Geneva. That is separate to AKDN. So the murid thinks the money goes to AKDN. Now, it is possible that the money from the bank account in the Aga Khan goes to AKDN, but does it? If it does, how do we know? We'll talk about that in a minute. So, Swiss bank account received the money from Global Jamaats, and it is this money that goes in a black hole. It is suggested by many that billions go into this black hole that supports the royal and the lavish lifestyle of Aga Khan. But do I have any evidence? No, not really. But I'd like to encourage the global community to investigate. I know one thing for sure, that there is a black hole. The global community will have to investigate. I do not have the power or the money to investigate on that level. Hopefully, after watching my videos, somebody will encourage the governments to investigate. And whilst we wait for that to happen, let us go inside Aga Khan Foundation, AKDN, to see how it works. When an Aga Khani murid says the imam improves the human condition via AKDN, is there any substance in that claim? Are they speaking out of knowledge, or are they a victim of malicious marketing and psychological coercion? How do we know if murid's $1 billion actually go to Aga Khan Development Network? So why don't we get it from the horse's mouth? Why don't we ask Aga Khan Development Network? In fact, if you have access to internet now, while I'm speaking to you, do this for me. Go to AKDN website, click on About Us, and then click on Frequently Asked Questions. In this section, you will read a question. Where do agencies of AKDN obtain their funding? Remember, the murid said all their money goes to AKDN. Imam himself disagrees with the murid. Website actually says the funding comes from 3 significant sources and 2 insignificant sources. 3 significant sources are national governments, multilateral institutions, and private sector partners. Second, from Aga Khani community, which is the religious dues, and thirdly, the donations from the corporations and individuals around the world. Then it says, apart from these 3 sources, the significant sources, there are other sources from where the funding comes from. Firstly, the Aga Khan himself, and secondly, user fees and endowment funds. It is important that you note the stealth. AKDN does not define what is significant, leave alone the dollar amounts. So we have no choice, ladies and gentlemen, we have no choice but to apply the rule of common sense. Okay, there are 5 contributors, 3 significant, 2 non-significant. Let us assume each significant contributes 25% and the insignificant contributes 12.5%. Now take note of this. Aga Khan Development Network's total annual budget is $1 billion a year, 1 billion. Remember how much he received from the murids in the bank? 15 billion. This 1 billion is separate, and this 1 billion, people are contributing to it. Okay, let's see how much contribution Aga Khan has. Now, assuming this is correct, $1 billion. Actually, it is on the website, so you can go and have a look there. Now, based on this assumption, here is what the contributor contributes. $250 million are coming from the national governments, multilateral institutions, and private sector partners. 250 millions are coming from the Aga Khani community, 250 million coming from the donations from corporations and individuals around the world. 125 million is coming from the Aga Khan himself, 125 million coming from user fees and endowment funds. AKDN website confirms for one and all that Aga Khan spends a maximum of $375 million between his own contributions and the religious dues he gets from murids. Question is, how much does he receive from the murids? $15 billion. How much does he spend? $375 million. This $375 is a small fraction. $375 million is a small fraction of $15 billion. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the reality. Now that we know, Aga Khan is very likely to be spending a small fraction towards improving the human condition and spends the rest to support his royal lifestyle. We will raise one more question. Does Aga Khan Development Network work for the betterment of humanity or selective humanity? What do I mean by selective humanity? Okay, there is poverty in India. AKDN is there. But there is poverty in South America as well. Is AKDN there? No. Let's go to AKDN website one more time. On the homepage, click on where we work. You will see they work in Europe. Yes, they work in Europe, but not in South America. You will also see the countries that they work in are the countries where the Murids live or they are likely to live. And this is another story altogether. Why would they concentrate on the countries where the Murids live? Do the Murids benefit from these organizations, the Aga Khan Development Network agencies? Do they actually benefit from them? We will discuss that in a minute. We will now put each Aga Khani agency under the microscope to see if it is designed for humanitarian purposes or is it designed for private business to make money. Remember, AKDN website says it is funded by so many different entities. Now, if it is funded mostly by the other entities, who is the donor? Is Aga Khan the donor? Does Aga Khan fund AKDN? He's got a very small contribution. And even that small contribution is not spelt out. It is not disclosed anywhere on the website. Question is, are the funds for charity or are they used for profit, to generate profit? What I am suggesting here is Aga Khan Development Network website does not say that we spend the money for charity. It does say that they invest money in those countries. And when you invest, what do you invest for? Do you invest for charity or do you invest for returns? There's no clarity on that issue. What is clear on the website is that they invest in those countries, Asia, Africa, Middle East, etc. Let's put each of these agencies under the microscope and see what the reality is. Apparently, there are many agencies that you will see on the website, but most of them do the same kind of work. For example, Aga Khan Agency for Habitat, Aga Khan Fund for Economic Development, Aga Khan Agency for Microfinance, Aga Khan Foundation. These are all named differently and they have different structures. Now, I'm positively sure there is a reason why there are so many structures, but we'll not get into that because I don't have any proof or any evidence to say either this way or that way. But all these institutions are doing the same thing. They operate banks, not free, telecommunication companies, hydroelectric plants to provide electricity, planting trees, disaster management, providing small loans, not free, interest from poor people, un-Islamic, yes, but this is what Aga Khan Development is doing right now. Then we have three other institutions or agencies: Aga Khan Academies, Aga Khan Education Services, and Aga Khan Universities. They all do the education kind of work, but guess what? There are three different structures. Then you have Aga Khan Health Services. This agency obviously runs hospitals, healthcare centers, etc. And then you have Aga Khan Trust for Culture, and basically they are interested in restoring historic websites, promote art and architecture and that kind of stuff. So in summary, Muris have an impression that their religious dues end up in AKDN, which is a charitable network. This is actually a myth. The reality is annual budget of Aga Khan Development Network is only $1 billion. Out of $1 billion, only $375 million comes from the Murid and the rest from outside sources. Question is, where did $14.6 billion go? Even this $375 million, there is no evidence that the money was spent for charity. No evidence. AKDN does not talk about using it for charitable purposes. The work of Aga Khan Development Network does not benefit the Muris either. There is an exorbitant price tag on the services. For example, try Aga Khan Hospital in Karachi. Try. God forbid you are sick and you live in Pakistan, in Karachi, and you want to be admitted to Aga Khan Hospital and you are not a rich person. Try. Give it a go. They say to me, it is one of the most expensive hospital in Pakistan. And there are allegations of corruptions inside it. That is a separate matter. This concludes our discussion on God and money. Next week, we will begin summarizing what we have learned from this series. We will also discuss possible solutions towards bringing an end to this abuse, and what can the global community do, and how can the Aga Khan Muris contribute. How can the Muslims contribute? Until then, take care. Goodbye.